I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. I'm here today with Dr. Lori Sussman, Assistant Professor in the Department of Technology at the University of Southern Maine, or USM. Lori is also the Faculty Advisor for the USM Cybersecurity Ambassadors. You can find her on LinkedIn and follow her on Twitter at Lori Sussman. Lori, welcome. So great to have you with us today.
I am so delighted to be here, Hillary. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. So happy to have you here. So to start off, Lori, you've been with the University of Southern Maine, which also happens to be my alma mater, so go Huskies, for over 2 years now. But you don't necessarily have a traditional background for a professor, having gone to West Point, where you obtained your BS in engineering. And from there, you worked for the White House, the Department of Defense, and the U.S. Army, and then moved into private sector. So tell us about your incredible career path.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, it's been a very non-traditional path to academia. I started off, just as most kids in high school, you get involved in activities. I got involved in Civil Air Patrol, and the best cadets went to a service academy. And I said, "Oh, I want to do that." And they were like, "Silly, girls don't go to service academies." But thankfully, I grew up in a time where West Point and the other service academies opened up, and I got to join the fourth class that had women at the United States Military Academy. And when I was going through, everybody just got a general engineering degree. Today they can have majors, but at that time, everyone just had an engineering degree. And I went into the United States Signal Corps, which is the information technology branch for the United States Army. And I got to command at every level, from platoon, which is about 30 people, all the way up to a brigade, which was 5,000 people. And I also had great assignments, such as I was a presidential communications officer for both President Bush 41 and President Clinton. I got to do the Joint IED Defeat Organization, taking care of the problem with roadside bombs when we first went into Iraq. That's where I got into a lot of cybersecurity aspects. But I've always been part of information technology and information security. So when I retired, I got a wonderful job with Cisco Systems, where we did engineering for the Department of Defense and other federal agencies. And I was in the private sector for about 10 years, not only with defense customers, but all sorts of different customers, learning how to do information technology and cyber defense across public sector, private sector, academia, nonprofits. It was wonderful. But there comes a time in your life where you trade success for significance. And that's what I wanted to do. So just as my post 9/11 GI Bill was running out, I decided to get my doctorate and go into teaching in higher ed to kind of give back. And that's the wonderful thing about your alma mater, USM, is that it's got a high population of veterans. There's a lot of non-traditional students. And so you really feel like you're able to give back. And so I've been doing that now for about 3 years, and it's been really an exciting journey.
Yeah, that's great. And definitely no shortage of things going on for you.
Yeah. And it's wonderful because, you can share that practitioner point of view with the students, and they really appreciate that.
Yeah, that's actually a really nice segue, because I was going to ask, how did your experiences working for government and military and, Fortune 500 such as Cisco equip you to teach programming and cybersecurity, IT, and tech management?
Well, it's been really well received by the students to be, incredibly exciting for me that they really want to hear your experience. They're kind of leery of an academic who's never been a practitioner. So they really like it when you can take, if you're teaching, like right now I'm teaching project management in cybersecurity. Mm. So I'm teaching them how to do a project management plan and build a program for cybersecurity in a small business, and bringing my own experience in both, very large businesses and small businesses, into scenarios and case studies that make it real for them. I think the students really appreciate that. Another example, when we have students in my introduction to cybersecurity class, I can tell them, you know, when I've seen men in the middle of attacks in Russia, you know, with this White House Communications Agency, I can tell them about all sorts of levels of attacks that I've experienced as a practitioner. So actually, I think it brings it to life. And it's been, like I said, very well received by the students.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure that sounds like you're probably so cool to them to be able to like tell them.
I don't know. I don't know if Professor Dover's so cool, but maybe a little cooler than some. But and we've also been able to build some really cool programs. I think that's what's really, you know, as someone who's been a practitioner, you know what the workforce is looking for,
right,
in terms of those entry level people. So we started two programs. One was the Husky Hackers, which is our cyber defense team. And the students are getting a lot of experience doing capture the flags and other different collegiate kinds of cyber defense games and competitions. So that's really been helping their skills. And we started the Cybersecurity Ambassador Program, where students actually go into the community and work with at-risk populations, bringing awareness to things like phishing, social media safety, identity safety. And that's also been great to build those non-technical skills for our students. So it's been pretty exciting.
Yeah, that's really exciting. And I want to come back to the non-technical skills in a little bit. But in your mentioning of the USM Cybersecurity Ambassadors, I'm just thinking about how important that must be, especially in the age of COVID, because we've seen, I think it was like 4 times activity of cyber attacks in what's been reported by civilians, which obviously extends here in Maine. But then Maine, we're also an older state. And I actually just spoke with Scott Schoberg. He just wrote a book for seniors, cybersecurity, and you know how they're at risk. So it's really great to hear about what USM Cybersecurity Ambassadors are doing for Maine.
It's been really amazing. We've gotten such incredible support from the Maine government. The Maine Office of Securities, the director, Judith Shaw, has been just amazing. She gave us a grant so that we could specifically help older adults, and especially with the financial aspects of online cyber safety. And we were able to do an engagement with the Southern Maine Association for the Aging. And it's just this fine line you have to teach students, where you want to make sure that you bring awareness to older adults, but you don't scare them so much that they want to just go immediately offline and hide.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. That makes sense. So I'm in Maine. You're in Maine. Speaking of Maine, what is the cyber scene like here in Maine? Like, how are we looking as far as open jobs, talent pipeline, cyber companies, et cetera?
Mm-hmm. You know, Maine is growing. I will tell you that about 10 years ago, if you go to a really great website, it's called cyberseek.org. And on that website, it'll show you, you know, 10 years ago, there were very few true cybersecurity jobs. Now you've got over 1 million people who are in cybersecurity jobs, and yet there are still more than 500,000 jobs open that they're looking for talent. Now, admittedly, you know, in states like Texas and California, New York, North Carolina, where they have the Raleigh Triangle, they have a more critical mass of jobs. Mm. But even in Maine, last time I checked, there were over 700 jobs open for cybersecurity professionals that they were looking for talent. So, you know, and I think part of that is because, you know, we've gone through this digital transformation. Every company is a digital company now. You can't fish without understanding sensors and data. You can't farm without understanding, you know, how information is passed and using information to grow better crops. Every field is digitized and every field has to protect its data. And with that comes this need for people who understand how to do that in very particular ecosystems. So we've, you know, so there's lots of jobs, and we've had some great companies like Defendify and others that are building cybersecurity businesses, information technology security businesses. You've got Tilson Technologies, you've got Tyler Technologies that has a presence here. You've got an abundance of growth in applications and the need for application security with a lot of the green light efforts that are going on in Maine. So it's growing and our reputation is growing. And I'm hoping that more businesses come and look for talent in Maine instead of just, you know, California and New York.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad that you mentioned Defendify, because we did a great piece with them. And it was so much fun meeting with Rob and Andrew and, you know, learning more about what they're doing to help protect small and medium sized businesses, because that's such a large part of our, you know, such a large part of our economy as a nation, but especially in Maine.
And they've been such great community partners. You know, they've come in and they've talked to students. They've had students as interns, and even companies like WEX and LL Bean and others have been incredible partners, helping us with our hackathons, helping provide internships, giving students opportunities that are really important to their professional growth.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I'm so grateful for them to do that as well. And so earlier you mentioned how the ambassadors, you know, it teaches students non-technical skills, and you, and as well as the cyber talent gap, speaking of that, you recently published an article titled "Exploring Non-Technical Knowledge, Skills, and Abilities That May Expand the Expectations of the Cyber Workforce." So can you share with us a little about, you know, what you researched, what you found, as, and also please let our listeners know where they can find the article too.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I had the most fun this summer talking to about 50 cybersecurity professionals, everywhere from up to a Fortune 5 company, and that the chief information security officer for that company, all the way the complete spectrum to an individual contributor who was an architect for cybersecurity. And what we talked about is the National Institute for Standards and Technology, NIST, has a national initiative for cybersecurity education, NICE. And I apologize up front. Whenever you talk about cybersecurity, you start going into cybersecurity alphabet soup.
Yes. So no, I'll no do worries. My best.
So under NICE, they have the Cybersecurity Skills Journal, which is a peer-reviewed journal, and they have a special edition because the new iteration of NICE was coming out with a updated knowledge, skills, and ability manual that kind of articulated, this special publication articulated the knowledge, skills, and abilities that the top 53 cybersecurity jobs should show. And when I did an analysis of those knowledge, skill, and abilities, I noticed that they did a great job with technical things, but they didn't really touch upon a lot when it came to non-technical skills. And most of those non-technical skills were focused in more of the training, if someone was a trainer or an educator, but not necessarily a practitioner. So just as a point of departure, I took those you know, particular articulated knowledge, skills, and ability as a point, because they were refereed, you know, those were accepted by the community as important skills, or KSAs, we call them, knowledge, skills, and abilities. And I talked to these 50 folks and I said, okay, well, this is a point of departure. It's not a perfect list, but when you're hiring somebody, tell me, is this important, and how important is it with respect to their technical skills? And almost uniformly, these hiring managers said that it was tremendously important for folks to have skills. And the ones that really popped to the top were presentation skills, communication skills, written skills, the ability to talk to clients and take these very complex ideas and make them understandable to non-technical people. And I found that, you know, if you are at the very top of a company, the presentation skills, the ability to talk to clients was really important. But the lower level managers, those at the operational level, they were more interested in people who were good collaborators. And you didn't necessarily have to be great at taking a PowerPoint and being able to present to a client, but you had to be able to communicate your special knowledge to a team and make a valuable contribution. And sometimes these differences in what's expected from an entry-level cybersecurity professional may make the difference on how they necessarily develop that person and whether or not that person gets the job. So it was very interesting to get the different perspectives and be able to share that with the community.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that sounds so important. And it's helpful to keep in mind from like a holistic perspective as well of because I also speak with a lot of people about the cyber talent gap and diversity of background in cyber and how that really, you know, all those different skills that you might not realize apply to cybersecurity. They're so needed.
You are so right, Hillary. And it is so important. The ability to, you know, diversity of how you communicate, the diversity in gender, the diversity of all sorts of different talent skill sets. Cybersecurity is definitely a team sport. And so you've got to bring all of those disparate skills and types of people together to do a great job to secure an environment. And that's what we're doing with the cybersecurity ambassadors, where we took what we learned from those practitioners, we baseline that, we ask the students to tell us what their baseline self-reporting assessment is of themselves. And then we go through the program and then we allow them to assess at the end. And we're trying to determine, you know, are we effective? And once we get some of these ambassadors out into the workforce, the next step will be, you know, asking, these employers, are we doing a good job? And are there other things that we can bring to bear to help make these workers immediately impactful as soon as they get on the job?
Amazing. And you mentioned diversity of gender in cyber, and a topic that we speak about a lot here on Cybercrime Radio is women in cybersecurity, of which, mm-hmm. of course, you are one. And I know that you've done a lot as far as speaking to women and STEM empowerment. So why is this so important to you? And how can we get more women involved in cybersecurity?
Well, it's important to me because we need the talent. You know, we as a nation need the talent. The globe needs the talent. And if you're excluding, you know, more than 50% of your population, women outnumber men, then you really have this huge untapped workforce. And so, you know, just from the sheer, you know, it's just smart to bring everybody into the fold and bring their talents to bear. That's so important. But I also think that women tend to want to be 100% ready before they dive into something, where sometimes I see the male students will be a little bit more adventurous. They'll think, okay, well, I'm 75% there. I'll dive into it. And so I want to find ways to help women see that perfect is the enemy of progress. It's my favorite. I say that to my students all the time. It's Voltaire, you know, perfect is the enemy of the good. Let's just get after it. Let's just try it. Let's just do it. And you may just find that it's a whole lot of fun. I think that's why so many more girls are getting into, games and cyber games, Cyber Patriot, you know, girls are really starting to come into their own. So we've really got to build that confidence early in the K-12 area. And then when they get into the university, we've got to do a better job creating a support structure until we have gender equity in the classroom. I remember back, you know, let's go back to my own background at West Point. You know, I was often the only woman in the room. throughout my career, I was the only woman in the room. I was the first woman battalion commander in the 2nd Infantry Division. I did a lot of firsts, but it's not easy to be first or be onlys. And so the more programs that we have where we can bolster each other, help each other, and give that nudge to say, don't wait till you're 100% ready, go for it. I think we'll have more women participate and be very successful.
Absolutely. And any advice that you have for women who may be listening and want to get involved, but they're just sort of not sure how?
Yeah, I think that, you know, if we're talking about cybersecurity, there are two women who never did any kind of cybersecurity thing in their life. And they started doing capture the flag competitions. And capture the flag competitions can be Jeopardy-like, they can be, you know, they can be gamified. Sands has this really cool, you know, holiday hack at Christmas time where you try to save Christmas, you know, and save Santa going through these different, you know, levels of you know, helping Santa through good cybersecurity practices. I think the more you just do, just jump in and do, the better. And here in Maine, we've got an incredibly collegial group with Ben Allen and DEFCON 207. They're at dc207.org. They have meetups and they network and they're very open and inclusive. And I just think you just have to jump in, get involved, don't worry about it, and find someone who, you know, can help you. I'm here to help any student, male, female, veteran, you know, whatever, you know, diversity group you're part of, I'm here to help. And I feel like most every USM professor that I've ever talked to is exactly the same way. We really want you to succeed and help.
Yeah. And from my experience, I would definitely agree with that. Everyone at USM is so helpful and so open. And so it's just a really wonderful, supportive environment.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we as women just have to do a better job networking because the men are really good at it. And we don't ask. and you need to ask people to both be a mentor and a sponsor, you know, and understand the difference that networker, if you're a mentor, you're just going to kind of coach and guide. But you need to ask, I want you to be my sponsor. I want you to help me get into this graduate program, or I want you to help me get, you know, into Cisco Systems. I see that you have a connection there. You have to be less worried about what people think and be, you know, more confident that they'll be impressed that you asked, and just ask for that sponsorship.
Yes. I'm so glad that you brought that up, and I'm really happy that you shared that with all of us. And so for anyone out there, just ask.
Yes.
You can ask either of us. We can help in some capacity, but
yes, exactly.
Mostly Lori. Go to Lori.
Anytime.
Well, Lori, this has been so much fun, and I always love speaking with you. So thank you so much for joining me today.
It is my absolute pleasure. Thank you so much, Hillary. And I really appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, of course. And hopefully we'll get to speak again soon, and I'll just keep asking you for things.
Perfect. I look forward to it.
Wonderful. I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining me today was Dr. Lori Sussman, Assistant Professor in the Department of Technology at the University of Southern Maine. You can find Lori on LinkedIn and follow her on Twitter at Lori Sussman. And you can listen to all of our podcast episodes at cybercrime.radio.